From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad. On this glorious day around the globe, we're all having nice hot weather, and I've got coffee coming in a minute as well. Blimey, and just to follow up on what you were talking about, it's your fault, Lee.
What? What have I done?
Well, because now the television company's come in.
What, because of what I say?
Yes. The television company have been on...
to see you.
Yes.
You know what they've done, Lee? Because you're so outspoken. Do you know what they've done?
What?
I moved into my rent house yesterday. There's no aerial on the roof. Now, every single house in Australia has an aerial on their roof when it's built. Except for this one. I cannot get any television. I can only watch DVDs all day long. And it's your...
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You can log on and watch the television.
No, I can't. They won't let me. It is blocked. Yeah. Let's delve into that next week.
Right, indeed. I cannot conceive the logic of this story at all. I have also not seen it publicised anywhere, which makes it even more shocking. And it's to do with pensions and our heroes. The army acts hero 3 days short of his 260 grand pension. A sergeant will now have to wait until he's 60 before collecting a package worth less than £90,000 because of 3 days. Sergeant Michael Anderson loses out on £261,000 of retirement package. Instead, he's getting a redundancy payout of 87 grand. You lot are despicable. Absolutely.
This is probably one of the lowest of the low things that this government has done. It's difficult to know.
Now, hang on,
really a policy
Lee,
to save
Lee,
money.
Lee,
sorry.
Lee,
yes,
we,
dear.
We cannot say it's a government. The fact is, if the army do this, the army does it. And it's a fact of life. They could get rid of some pen pushers to look after the heroes. Yes, Rachel.
Sorry. My audience this evening, late into this evening, who are holding my tablet up to my face because I can't afford it, they're both members of the ADF. Now, I can't tell you who they are, what ranks they are. I've got a gag. There's a gag in place. That's how the ADF works here. Australian Defence Force, sorry. ADF. But, yes, that is not normal. They said they don't get pensions anymore. They only get superannuation.
Oh, right.
Right, interesting.
That's despicable.
That really is.
Yeah, go on, Lee, you explain the story, because when you really hear the story, it is appalling. Go on, Lee.
It is basically what's happened, and I think really what I've meant before about the government was, if this is actually influenced by the government on the fact that we're trying to save money on the army, etc., and that kind of pressure obviously does come from the government. The army doesn't make their own decisions on that. Then this is absolutely shameful, as you say. But actually, it might be more the fact that it's just fallen really badly for this chap. But the government or the army should then have done something to protect him. What's happened is that this chap joined the army when he was 17. He's done his 18 years, and he should have been then eligible for a payoff of £260,000 in his pocket. That's what he should have in his pocket. Yeah. And he should have also got a pension up until the time that he's 60, an army pension of nearly £170 a week. Remember, he's 35. He would be 36 when he got this. Yeah. What's actually happened, because the army is making redundancies following demands by the government to save money, they have actually made him redundant 3 days. 3 days before he should have received this package. And that means that now, instead of the massive £261,000 retirement package he should have got, he now only gets about £87,000. And his pension, when he's 60, drops down to £4,000 a year.
That's just...
It's half what he should have got. Now, his wife, Jolene, who's a mental health care manager, just as Rachel's been saying about the chaps out there, he can't really speak that much on this at the moment. So his wife steps into the breach, and she says that her husband has served the army since he was a teenager. He's been in Northern Ireland and he's been in Iraq, and he went into the army looking for financial security, really. And what he's been repaid with, according to Jolene, is abject betrayal. She says he's crushed. It's disgraceful that he's been discarded just 3 days short of qualifying for his immediate pension. This is amazing, isn't it, Eric?
It's disgusting. Eric, sorry to interrupt you, but the pension that was taken out of service in 2004 in Australia, all members have an amount come out of their pay that goes towards their superannuation, the ADF will match the amount that you pay every fortnight.
Right. So
you have to pay to get.
Yeah, okay. Which I find disgusting. And I think this is a case where the government can jump on this, because they can revoke this. And also, bearing in mind...
Of course they could, yeah, absolutely.
This was just 2 weeks before he was presented with a medal for long service and good conduct. So he's done nothing wrong. He's served his country. He's done what has been thrown at him. And now he's been thrown on the financial scrap heap. And I think...
My audience is throwing my lawn furniture around my lawn.
I can understand that. And I don't think it's the right way to treat people. And we know from experience here, Lee, that some of the soldiers that we've worked with, and this is a true story, and I'm sorry if I've told it before, and I'm a bit angry. This young lad, he was blown up with one of those idiots who planted a bomb. And it meant that his spine was kind of like curved. He was about 22, 23 years old, a guy from Essex. And because
I've met him, I know him, yeah.
Yeah, and because he couldn't stand up straight, Rach, and do his salute, the army were going to chuck him out.
That's right.
So he gets blown up. He's then going to get chucked out. And he came to Aqua City, where we do have a cryotherapy centre. And I spoke to the doctor who's in charge, lovely man, and I said, look, is there any way we can fix this, Dr. Yan? Because, you know, with some of the things you've shown me, surely we can fix it for him. And he said, it's possible, Eric, we'll try. We'll do our best. The first day, after he'd been in and had some treatments, Josh phoned me up and he said, come to Aqua City now. What's gone wrong? I get there and he stands bolt upright and he salutes. And with respect to your Australian friends, there's a salute that British officers do that is just different to the rest of the world. It just happens to be different. And so he's bolt upright. He stands to attention. He salutes. And there's a tear from his eye and he's going, hey, Eric, do you think we can get hold of somebody back home? So I said, we'll do more than that, mate. So I get on the phone to a major, and I said, look, can you get hold of the medical officer? Because I'm promising you, sir, this guy can stand up straight. And anybody says he can't, they're liars. and funnily enough, then the medical officer was reached. I was given a number. I had another chat. And the Monday that this lad went back, there was a lot of effort to get him reassessed for some reason.
I know this. I can confirm this, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
and funnily enough, to all your audience around you, Rachel, enough, he was reinstated.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So
my goodness gracious me.
So listen to me, Mr. Ministry of Defence. If you don't sort this out, you're gonna get the hassle of all of us three for months to come. So go fix it.
There's another point to this as well, though. And I suppose Jolene really has hinted at it. And the simple fact is that England, the UK, generally used to treat its servicemen well. We were proud of our servicemen. And because of the financial restraints which are now affecting the whole of the world, and particularly in Britain, we are actually now treating our soldiers in the way that America treated its Vietnam war heroes.
Lee, the word you're searching for is contempt.
Treated them with contempt. I think that's a really good word.
Yes,
we treat our soldiers with contempt.
I live in a country where the economy is fine. We didn't go through the GFC. We don't have some austerity issues. We don't have all this stuff going on. Yet, we still treat these guys with contempt. It's ridiculous. I've got a riot on my lawn. I'm glad my furniture was really cheap and from IKEA, because these guys are trash it. They're setting it on fire.
Well, I don't blame you at all. And you can tell your audience down there that there are some people and media people that do actually care about them. MOD, go fix it. We've got to move on. But MOD, go fix it. This scares me. A plague-infested squirrel has been discovered near Los Angeles. Hang on, Lee was there a couple of weeks ago.
Ew. I never touched the squirrel.
Lee was there a couple of weeks ago, Rach.
That's why it's infested.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
That's why it's infested with leanness.
Well, that's true. And don't forget, boys and girls, if you're not sure what we mean, it's commonly known as the Black Death, the bubonic plague that killed 25...
Excuse me, are you saying that I gave a squirrel the Black Death?
It killed 25 million people across Europe in the 14th century. Lee, is that old?
he took it with him.
I will make it clear, ladies and gentlemen, I came back from Hollywood with my nuts intact. They never went near a squirrel.
They're not your marbles.
They got your marbles. And what I don't understand is, previous routine surveillance has identified one plague-positive ground squirrel in 2010, another in 2007, 1996, 1995. They're still there. So why haven't they got rid of them all?
Well, it is. Because it's just one of those things, isn't it? And the plague, we've got to be realistic about it, isn't caused by squirrels. It's actually caused by flea bites.
Yes.
And it's the flea. We can't get rid of all the fleas. The fleas are everywhere. And so you're never going to really break it. But what they should be looking at is the fact that is how little the plague has been found across America over the last 15-20 years. It's a bit scary, isn't
it? Actually, no, you're right, because hang on a minute, think about this. There was one found in 2010, that's 3 years ago, then 2007, before
what
that
you night... You're checking up on my mathematical skills now.
No, I'm just saying that there hasn't been one for 3 years. You go over there and there's another one.
Oh, no! No, those little furry little grey squirrels. I love them. I love those squirrels.
Oh,
but I've not put down my pants now, actually.
Well, anyway, if you're thinking of going to Broken Blade, Twisted Arrow, and or Pima Loops, do not go, is my advice.
Campus. What beautiful names, eh? Wouldn't you like to live in Broken Blade?
No, you know the place I always...
Or Twisted Arrow.
Now, the one I always used to love driving through when I was using my amateur radio equipment in my motor car, because you see, you're not allowed to say naughty anything on amateur radio bands, but I used to drive through Pratt's Bottom every night.
Oh dear, ladies and gentlemen, he's off and now he's a warden. He represents the government and he's saying things
like that. Oh my God, it's anarchy! Dogs and cats! Living together, oh my God!
According to a building society boss in the UK, the building society bosses, are actually pop stars of today. Not fat cats, nothing like that. And basically,
pop stars.
Yeah, basically, Mr. Howe, who's paid $300,000 a year for working less than 3 days a week, said it was society's problem. They had to figure out that they were well worth it, and they're not fat cats.
I know what they're saying. What Mr. Howe, and how he's got the cheek to say this is unbelievable, is that they're worth their massive bonuses. He gets £300,000 a year, like Eric's just said. And he doesn't see that the fact that he's part of the institution that brought the world to its knees, he just sees himself as a rock star. How wonderful, Mr. Howe. Get your stuff out and stop fiddling while Britain and the rest of the world is burning.
Yes.
You know what irked me about the story in particular? I don't happen to care about the story in particular, but I've got to tell you, it irks me. This man's name is Howe, and on Gilligan's Island, the millionaire's name was Howe.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, wow. But hang on. Okay, guys, let me play devil's advocate for a minute.
Go on, then.
All right. Now, would you rather have a numpty who can't use a calculator, has no academic brain, is just a bit of a complete all-round numpty, running a building society for 50...
Is that how you're describing Mr. Howe, Mr. Warden?
No. I am saying, would you rather have a numpty like that who you pay 35 grand a year for, who probably would bring the whole of the world to their knees in minutes,
as
opposed to... Actually, you know what? Well, my PA Steve's got an opinion on this. Steve, say it out loud. Don't type. Say it out loud. He's trying to type me notes, so I'm telling him no. Say it out loud.
Go on, Steve.
What you're describing is most of the politicians pretty much across the world, I think.
Oh, right, yeah. And thought of that
I'd love to see most of their degrees and everything else and see if they're actually worth all their bonuses and fringe benefits and everything that they get.
Ah, well, we don't have that anymore, Steve. They've knocked it on the head, most of it.
Not here.
Not there. Oh, okay.
Well, the thing is, you're doing very well over there, so it's actually quite pertinent.
We are doing
there
well.
Is a difference between two sides of the world. You know, what's actually happening here is you've got to decide where, if you pay an entertainer, right, an entertainer like a pop star or a footballer, lots and lots and lots of money to actually perform and entertain the people and make money for you, then if that entertainer isn't actually performing well enough to actually make himself worth the money you're paying him, you get rid of him. You don't keep him, and you don't keep giving him loads and loads of money. You get rid of him. In the banking industry, people like this chap are not really contributing to society in any way anymore. They're actually taking away from society. And yet, for some inexplicable reason, we carry on paying them fortunes. And this bloke sees himself as a rock star. Well, I'll tell you what should be happening to him.
What's that then?
Yeah, well, nothing we can say on air, really.
Oh, I see.
We're all getting a visual.
We're getting a visual of it. Okay, let's move on to one of the stories Lee and I had an argument about once when he was besmirching the shares of Facebook when they were launched because they went down rather rapidly. And I argued it's because the markets didn't see the right value in them. And I've been proven right now because I've been proven right now because I've been proven right now because shares in Facebook leapt by almost a third after it beat earnings expectations with stronger than expected mobile ad sales. They've jumped right up to $33.3. So that's not far off the launch price, Lee. Lee? Talk to me, Lee. Are you there, Rach?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm always here.
Is Lee that's shot off again?
He might have.
Do you know what?
Let's talk about Facebook.
No, let's talk about Lee while he's not here.
He's got really weird hair.
Oh, he's listening now. He's just...
I'm listening.
You know when you send one of those emails out, Rach, and the other person doesn't reply because they know they're going to get shot down in a ball of flames if they do?
That's what happened to Lee just now.
Yeah, he's having one of those moments.
Am I here?
Yes, he went, He created his own tumbleweed.
He is, isn't he?
Do I even exist anymore?
No.
Lee.
Lee.
I think we should add to it.
Okay, then. Lee, just to recap on that little bit for you, Facebook shares were 25.6 higher at $33.30. Yes. The highest since May 2012.
Yes, but what I was going to say before I was so rudely interrupted was that basically, if you take this as a story, this does not make Facebook a reputable or a good thing for the world. What it means is that business people have spotted some value in it and a way of making money. Facebook does not benefit the world. It makes money for people who are already quite well off. Would you like to take over, Rachel?
No, yes, I would. Really intrepid business people. They took. I would like to take over with my fireworks.
Yeah.
Right now.
Okay, look, try this on for size. So Facebook doesn't help the world, correct?
Not really. It doesn't.
No.
Right. So my brother yesterday.
I would say it does.
My brother yesterday Skypes me to say, uses Skype, to say he's got a problem. And he's trying to do some technical work with some amplifiers for his mobile roadshow, which he took over from Eric years ago. So he's going, I'll Facebook you the pictures, the images, because it's quick. Look at them. You tell me what I need to buy. Da-di-da-di-da. Now, what it meant was that a young man who knew roughly what he wanted needed.
Are we describing your brother as a young man?
Yes. I don't know why, but it sounded right at the time. okay.
David, we love you.
Yeah.
I bet he's lovely. I bet he's delicious.
He's delicious. He looks like he could be on a stick.
Yeah. I prefer calling him the Slovak for little brother, which I kid you not, the Slovak for little brother is Malo Brat.
And he could never be known as Diddy David, though.
No, he couldn't. So anyway, David then shares all this information with me through Facebook pictures. Da-di-da-da. I then say to him, you need that. Problem was solved in a couple of minutes from 2,000 kilometres away.
Now, I agree with you. Facebook has a value. It has a certain, in the great pantheon of everything that Facebook does, there is the possibility to do things properly on it. What I'm saying is that really this is no great benefit to the world to actually be able to talk to somebody who you class as a friend who you've never met and don't even know anything about. But what I'm saying is also, because there is another story attached to this, which is really important, and that's that Mark Zuckerberg, this great grand inventor who invented Facebook and has become one of the richest men in the world because of it.
Jealous?
Actually, I'm not jealous of him. I'm not jealous of him at all. I think he looks funny.
Yeah, you are.
But, he was asked. He asked filmmakers to stop recording because the questions they were asking him were a bit embarrassing and he felt they invaded his privacy. Mm-hmm. What do you do all the time, Mr. Zuckerberg, through Facebook,
whoa,
except
whoa,
invade
whoa,
everybody's
whoa.
Privacy?
Sorry, he was smarter than everybody else and went to it first and said, you know what, invade yours.
Does Mr. Zuckerman tell you to put your fingers in the fire?
No, Mr. Zuckerman. What Mr. Zuckerman does he steal all your information, your identity,
Let's play another game. Let's play another game.
God. Hamboy!
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Zuckerman is now standing in the village of the damned.
Zuckerberg.
We're
going to get...
Zuckerberg, yes, we're calling him a man. We've been calling him a man.
We'll just call him Mark. Mark will be easy.
No, he's not a man.
Right, so Mark's standing. Mark's in the village of the damned, and the door goes. And Mark says, hello, Lee. Lee, put all your information on Facebook. And Lee says, no.
Yeah, Well, in fact, I do have a Facebook page, which I, to my eternal shame or eternal actually pleasure, I don't really do much with, because when it first came out, it was the place to be for it was a new thing. But and when it first came out, it wasn't that dangerous. It became dangerous when people started to realise that you were actually putting pictures of the contents of your house on there, on online, where anybody could view them. That you were putting pictures of your children on there. That you were telling your secrets to the world.
Lee,
and
sorry.
Now what is the
Lee,
people
Lee,
now?
Lee,
what?
You can make a choice when you put a picture on Facebook. You can
decide
who sees it. If you want it to be for family only, you tick the family box and nobody else can see it. Equally,
absolutely.
Why
but
would
nobody knew that at the beginning?
No, I know, but what I'm saying is,
they do now,
and the fact is, if you know, if you go down the road and break the speed limit, it's your call. If you drink excessively, it's your call. If you put too much data on Facebook, it's your call. Mark Zuckerberg's not forcing you to put it on there. He's actually saying,
no, but
it's free.
For goodness sake, people, what is wrong with you?
What he is actually doing is using the information you put on Facebook. A lot of people are naive, Eric, in this world. Not everybody's on the ball as far as these things are concerned.
Who's lying?
What happens if people put their information on there and it's then harvested to gather profiles for advertising campaigns and for other things that might not be quite as wholesome as that.
Indeed.
And also, yeah, and that's the problem. That's the problem. And Mr. Zuckerberg actually was appalled that journalists actually asked him questions about his own private life and wouldn't answer them, asked them to switch the cameras off. Yeah. I think Mr. Zuckerberg operates on two levels.
Indeed. We haven't got time, boys and girls, to tell you about the record iPhone sales that's taken place, but
and that's because it's boring.
A bit of sour grapes there. The profits are down at Apple. Ho, 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 ho.
Apple sour grapes.
Yeah, we've got
Eric.
Yeah, I know. The embarrassment for the Archbishop of Canterbury, who was...
Which is a brilliant story. We should have been doing this one.
We should have, but we haven't really got the time. it's just an embarrassment because the Church of England invests in the payday loan company Wonga, which was notified to the Archbishop of Canterbury just after he'd slagged them off in a big way. We will have no chance to talk about the green shoots of revival in the UK.
Because there aren't any.
Because the UK economy saw an estimated GDP growth of 0.6 this week. The second month it's grown in an amazing sort of way. And we won't have time to talk about Mr. Murdoch, because he only owns about 33% of it. B-Sky B has announced 9% rise in full-year operating profits, taking the profits up to, get this, £1.33 billion.
Well done, Mr. Murdoch.
And don't forget, that's the really hard done by British public that are paying all the money, £1.33 billion, some money they haven't got, so they tell me, which they clearly have, to invest in televisions that obviously they can't afford because the green shoots are not there. That's it for this week. It's time to say goodbye to the troops of Rachel Down Under.
There you go, guys. All right. Gotcha.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
And see you, Lee. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.